Today is the day for our burning bowl ceremony. Are you excited? This is the most popular ritual in the Unity movement. And here at Unity Renaissance, we look forward to it every year with great, great anticipation, as you could probably tell from the cheers breaking out just now. It seems that we can just hardly wait to write down on these little slips of paper all the things we want to get rid of. Whether it's extra pounds or clutter in the garage or old resentments or the false beliefs we have about ourselves, it seems really that there's just no shortage of things that we'd like to let go of. In fact, every year when we're together, someone will inevitably ask, "Could I have a few more sheets of paper?" And then, of course, we take these slips of paper with the things that we want to release, the behaviors, the attitudes, etc. And typically, we have a bowl with a flame in it, and we put those pieces of paper in the flame, and poof, they just disappear. It's wonderful. Today, we're doing it a little differently. We are using little slips of paper that dissolve in water. Those of you who received your Christmas care packages, those little slips of paper are in there for you to use today also. And if you don't have that kind of paper, that's totally fine. Write it on any old kind of paper. And then when you're finished writing your list, you can throw that in the fireplace or rip it up into a lot of little pieces, stomp on it if you like, throw it into the trash, however you get rid of it. This is just an amazing ritual, an amazing practice. And inevitably every year, people will say, "Wow, I just feel so much better. You know, we feel lighter, happier, freer." Well, this year, many of us are most eager to let go of one thing in particular, 2020, right? I mean, oh my gosh, this painful, difficult, heavy, disorienting year. Be gone, 2020, be gone, and take the pandemic with you as soon as possible. Now, here on the spiritual path and at Unity Renaissance, we are just as eager to let go of whatever we are holding inside that is causing us pain. It could be old beliefs, old behaviors. It could be old stories that we've told ourselves, misguided ideas that we're inadequate or unworthy, or whatever it may be, feelings that we don't want to feel anymore. We're just ready to get rid of that. We're ready to really clean up our internal act, if you will. We're ready to simplify. And that is actually a very, very good thing. The spiritual sages through the ages have told us that not only is simplicity the way to happiness, simplicity is the way to God. As I so love to share my favorite quote from the 13th century Christian mystic Meister Eckhart, he says it so beautifully, "God is not found in the soul by adding anything, but by a process of subtraction." Subtract, let go, release, simplify. He's really telling us that if we want to have a divine experience, we need fewer concepts and constructs, not more. We need less drama, less distraction, and certainly less self-sabotage. Well, the wonderful 19th century transcendentalist philosopher Henry David Thoreau said much the same thing when he advised us, simplify. Simplify. And he meant for us to simplify on the inside as well as on the outside. And then he proceeded to demonstrate. As we know, Thoreau basically dropped out of society for 2 years. He lived in a self-made cabin on Walden Pond, just outside of Concord, Massachusetts. And in the mornings, he would read the Bhagavad Gita, that sacred Hindu text. And then during the day, he would write. He would observe the workings of nature around him. He would complete his daily chores. And speaking of his simple life, he once said, "I too am a yogi." You know, simplicity was one of his major philosophies and one of his major pieces of advice. He said, "In proportion as you simplify your life, The laws of the universe will appear less complex, and the solitude will not be solitude, nor poverty, poverty, nor weakness, weakness. You see, when we simplify, our whole world changes. Everything looks different to us, our perspective. We find peace. We find harmony. We find wholeness. You know, on a soul level, this really resonates, doesn't it? Our hearts long for this kind of simplicity and sort of spaciousness. I think more than one of us have probably sort of fantasized about, wouldn't that be great to live on Walden Pond for a while? But we feel this innate longing for life to be simpler, more sort of open, with this time of just tuning in to what is really most important. No wonder we look forward to the burning bowl ceremony so much. It really answers a call deep within us. Today, I want us to really think about that call that is really coming up for us, not just today, but periodically in our lives, and to think about this. As we go about figuring out what we're going to write on our slips of paper or what we want to release, ask yourself this. Who or what is telling me what to let go of? Who is the observer that is guiding my way? Who is it that is looking out for me in this way, essentially saying, let go of that. You don't need that. You don't want that. Let go of the ways in which you are blocking your own light. I believe that this guide in us, this observer in us, this spirit in us, it's the presence of God within. It is our own highest wisdom. It is our innate, deepest knowing. It is, in fact, the Christ within, urging us to release whatever is holding us back. Yes. The Spirit cheering us on so that we can break through into the fullness of who we are meant to be. You may remember some of Jesus' teachings that kind of echoed this. Remember the story in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he speaks to Simon, who later became Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting their fishing nets into the sea when Jesus told them, "Leave your nets and follow me." He later said the same thing to James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and all of them left their nets and even their families and followed him. What might this story mean for us? Let's look at it metaphysically. We can think of a net as our mindset, kind of our conscious mind, our view of the world. And the fish represent ideas. So our mind is the net that catches thoughts and holds onto them. When Jesus says, leave your nets, it means let go of your old way of thinking and being. Leave your old paradigm behind and follow me. Follow the call of Spirit. Come into your truth. Jesus tells them that he will make them fishers of men, which simply means enlightened spiritual leaders. I love this story because it is just so vividly illustrates how Jesus wanted us to know who we really are, to let go of the limiting concepts. So it was really all about releasing these mistaken ideas we have of how small or inadequate or unworthy or unlovable, blah, 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 whatever it is we might be holding that keep us held in. Leave your nets, he says. Step into the expansiveness of who you truly are. Claim your divine identity. And that was what his message was all about. It was an empowering message. It was a transformational message. And the transformation was based on this idea of stripping away false ideas of who we are not so that we could come into the glory and the fullness of who we truly are. In Ecclesiastes, it says that there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. And thus there is a time to hold on, and there is a time to let go. And if we continue to hold on when our inner voice, our higher wisdom, is telling us to let go, we set ourselves up for suffering. We create this discord within us where we're continuing on a path that deep down we know is not really healthy and good for us. So the sooner we can honor and really listen to that innate divine wisdom within us, really heed it and trust it, the sooner we can find not only peace, but freedom. In Zen Buddhism, they talk about beginner's mind, and it really is another form of subtraction, essentially. It's saying, let go of all of your concepts and your ideas. Come back into what we might call isness, the present moment, beingness. Clear it all away to have that beautiful beginner's mind. Well, how might we do that? How might we clear away what's cluttering up our psyches? Well, certainly today with our burning bowl ceremony, we're taking a very meaningful first step. As we write down what we wish to release, what no longer serves us, it's a powerful practice, and it opens up more space for God. And then as we continue on in our days, we can look for ways to continue releasing, but we can also cultivate a life of simplicity. You know, remembering that call we feel in our hearts, we can create ways in which we let more of that divine experience come into our daily life. Prayer, meditation, music, movement, taking walks out in nature, quiet contemplation, mindfulness. These are ways that we create this sense of sort of inner spaciousness, that we remind ourselves of who we truly are and what is most important. And the fact is that as we simplify in this way, there's a tremendous strength that is generated from that. There's a strength that grows in us when we reconnect with what is most essential. So I want to tell you about someone who I hugely admire in this regard, who really, through a very, very simple spiritual practice, has bolstered her own strength through this very difficult year. Many of you know her. She's a longtime member of Unity Renaissance. Her name is Evelyn Hurd. And this was Evelyn. I had the joy of being with her on her 95th birthday. Well, Evelyn turned 99 at the end of September. Evelyn lives alone. She lives in an apartment at Westminster, Canterbury. And since March, they have been in lockdown. No visitors, really no going out other than to get shuttled over to a doctor's appointment and back. And there are a few people who come and go to help her take care of daily tasks, but by and large, she's been on her own. On her own, day in, day out. Because of those health challenges that, you know, we all face as we get older, and she has her share. She's being super cautious about any contact. And I have the joy of speaking with Evelyn about once a week. We have long, beautiful conversations. I always ask her, how are you doing? I ask her, are you lonely? And she says, I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. And she's told me before about one of the things she does that brings delight into her life. So she sits in her living room and she looks out her big picture window. She looks out at the sky and the clouds, and the sun. She said then she brings into her mind a memory from her very long and wonderful life. She'll bring back a precious memory and she'll remember it in just the most vivid, exquisite detail, as if she were actually reliving it again. And it fills her with so much joy and so much love. She said to me, it's as if I'm writing the story of my life, even though I'm not writing anything down. And she relishes it. She's connecting with what is most essential, with truth. She is filling her heart, her apartment, her life with love and joy, oneness, and God. Such a beautiful source of inspiration. Evelyn, I hope you're watching today, or if not today, I hope you get to see this so that you know how much I treasure you and how much you inspire me. The way you've navigated this extremely difficult year and now on the verge of turning 100 next September, still going strong. There's a beautiful saying in 1 John 4:4. It tells us, "You are from God. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Oh, my friends, this is what we're supposed to know. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And this great Christ within you is just so wanting to come into fuller expression, to release that amazing power and potential that is the truth of your being. It is telling you to get out of your own way and shine. Let your light shine. You know, today as we do our internal work, I really want you to pay some attention to that call that you're hearing, to that voice that is guiding you, because that inner voice of you knows something. It knows who you truly are, and it knows who you are most meant to be. And so listen to it, heed it, follow. This burning bowl ceremony today is one act of release. It is not meant to be the only one. Oh my gosh, how wonderful it would be if we could just write all these things on our paper or papers, as the case may be, and destroy them and be rid of these things forever. It can work that way. I'm not saying it can't. However, often it takes a little bit of time. We may have taken a noble first step by identifying what we most want to release, but then it may take a little bit of practice releasing day by day, reminding ourselves. It's like that writer who said, it's like holding onto the side of a swimming pool when you're learning to swim. Some people let go all at once, but some people need to let go one finger at a time. But keep going. Because what you are doing today, you are planting seeds in consciousness, not only in your consciousness, but in divine consciousness, by speaking specifically what you are through with, what you are done with. You are inviting the entire universe to conspire in helping you release this. And know as you go forward that this work of releasing what no longer serves us is some of the most powerful, transformative spiritual work we can do. So keep going with it. Heed that inner voice of yours. Know that you're being called into a higher expression of being, and all of the universe is working to support you in that. Today, as you write it down, connect with that light within you. Be very clear. Be strong and keep going. Well, we would like to prepare now for our burning bowl ceremony. And the way we'll do this is, for those of you who are watching online, I'd invite you to just get your paper and pencil ready. I'm going to take a few moments to just lead us into a little time of introspection so that we can tune into our own divine wisdom. So we can simplify, clear away all else, and listen to the voice of God within us. Remembering that this burning bowl ceremony is a way of releasing whatever we most need to release, whether it's fear, anxiety, worry, debt, relationship issues, job problems, unhealthy habits, or all of the above. Know that each time we let go, we're creating more space for God. With that in mind, I invite you to just take these few moments to breathe in, settling into your seat. Close your eyes if you wish. And breathe. Breathing in. And let go. Each breath a demonstration of exactly what we are doing today. Breathing in and letting go. Feel yourself loved and supported in this very moment. The love of God swirling through you, touching every part of your being, cheering you on. Feel that beautiful heart of yours filled with love and compassion for yourself, for this journey that you've navigated throughout your life. Then ask to that higher wisdom within you, what am I to release? What am I to let go of? What is blocking me? What is keeping me stuck? What is holding me back? Speak to me, sweet spirit, so that I may be free. Take a few moments as you tune in to that inner wisdom. And when you feel so led, take your pencil and your paper and write down whatever has come to you, whatever has been spoken to you. We have a lovely bowl of water here for our dissolving bowl ceremony. So I'll just invite those who are present here, our music team, our sound and AV team, to come up one at a time and place your paper in here and see it disappear. Whenever you're ready. Magic. Way to go, team. Way to go. Hope you're feeling some freedom of release. Just the beginning. And I hope all of you had a satisfying ceremony. It's, of course, not quite the same when we aren't together, but still, you know, it's still has impact, doesn't it? Now, just appreciating that this is a first step in your next soul evolution. Today, our Burning Bowls ceremony is all about letting go of who we are not, what we do not want in our lives. Next Sunday, when we do our White Stone ceremony, which is the follow-on to this today, we'll be claiming who we most truly are and what we most truly want in our lives. So please plan to join us for that.